I'm going to bring your attention to this morning. You have your Bibles turned to the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24. You know, there are a lot of people that are planning to go to heaven. Most people that you talk with, they want to go to heaven. They don't want to miss heaven. It's not that they're indifferent toward Christianity. Many of them just haven't tried it yet. In this particular chapter, there are some thoughts I want to bring your attention to. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in prison by the governor, and he was before the governor. And as he was speaking to Felix, there are some things that Felix says that I want us to consider this morning. I'll begin reading in the 24th verse. I want us to notice that the Apostle Paul was preaching to Felix. You know, that would have been an amazing thing to have heard the Apostle Paul preach. I feel sorry for some of you having to hear me preach in comparison to great men of long ago that preached the gospel. I guess outside of Jesus Christ, if there was one other preacher I would have loved to have heard preach, it would have been the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was probably second to Jesus Christ in his ability to articulate the gospel. As far as power and spirit and demonstration in his preaching, he was probably second to Jesus Christ. And to be a lost person or a sinner, and to have had the privilege of sitting under the preaching of the Apostle Paul, ooh, I can't imagine the kind of a judgment that one would be under if they refuse Jesus having heard such preaching. Here in these passages of Scripture, as Paul was telling here him, conveying to him things of Jesus, let us note in verse 24, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now I want to stop there in my reading. "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I want to entitle the message this morning, "Now or Never." For many people, it's either now or never. A lot of people come into the sound of the gospel and refuse it, and upon that refusal, they never get saved. Amen. I believe such was the case with the governor Felix. He came under the preaching of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul laid out things for him pertaining to facing judgment over the sins that he had committed. Over temperance, he conveyed to him various things of the faith of Jesus Christ and fell under great conviction and even trembled at the thought of facing Christ. And yet, said another day, some other time, he delayed. He procrastinated. Actually, he refused the gospel. Many people are looking for a convenient season, and a convenient season never comes. Amen. I'll wait till. I'll do it at a more convenient time. Some other time in my life would be better for me to get saved than right now. And I fear a lot of people don't realize that it's either now or never. As it was with this man, many times throughout the Scriptures, Jesus conveyed it would be with many others. Turn with me to the 14th chapter of Luke as I set forth to prove this point hurriedly. And then I need to move on. Jesus taught a parable in the 14th chapter of Luke. He talked about a man that prepared a great supper in verse 16. And he invited people to come. Now, this is in comparison to the gospel, to the preparations that have been made for you to be saved. How that Jesus died on the cross. How that he paid the sin debt for you. How that he hung there in agony that you might be saved from your sins. This parable is comparing the invitation of you finding Jesus, finding the remission of your sins. And one bid to a great banquet, a great supper. He sent his servant at supper time, verse 17, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they started having excuses. You can read here about their excuses. I've preached on this in the past. One person had an excuse that he had bought some ground. He had to go look after it or watch it. Another one had bought an ox and he had to test it or prove it. Another one had a wife and he was henpecked and couldn't come because of her. Why read it? It's right there in verse 20. And so the servant returned and said, look, none of these people will come. They are not coming to the invitation. And we notice that the Lord, verse 23, the Lord was angry. He was upset. Notice here, he told him to go to the highways and byways and compel him to come in that his house may be filled. And verse 24, I want you to notice verse 24. For I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that none of those people, listen to this, none of those people that received that one invitation to come and eat at this supper, not one of them, not one of them that were bidden, shall taste of my supper. Amen. For these people, it was either now or never. Now, they had excuses, they had reasons, and many people that procrastinate and put off getting saved, that resist and trifle underfoot the Holy Ghost. Many of these people that do not respond to the gospel, that stand in a place of rebellion, many of them never find the Lord. None of them eat of the supper. Felix trembled. And you know, many people come under the conviction of the Holy Ghost and they're convinced of their sins and yet they do not respond properly to the gospel. And many times upon turning the gospel away and turning away Jesus, they never get saved. As Felix trembled, I think he was realizing that he was going down a road that leads to destruction. And there are many people that are lost. And they're following the ways of wickedness. They're following the ways that lead to destruction. They're on a broad road that leads to destruction. They realize they're on a broad road that leads to destruction. And the very thought of facing a judgment without Jesus Christ and without their sins atoned for and forgiven, it makes them tremble. And Felix trembled, realizing what he was going to have to pay. You know, I preached on Balaam a few Sundays back. One of the things Balaam said, I believe it's in the 23rd chapter of Numbers. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. You know, Balaam, when he was talking to Balak, he said, you know, I really want to die like a saved person. Before I die, I want to be saved. And he said, let my last end be as his. In other words, I want to experience what saved people experience. I want to go to heaven. And many sinners, many unbelievers, many unchristian people that are out there in the world, they have those desires, and yet they're still lost and in their sins. Think with me what the parable that Jesus taught us conveys. Go thy way. You know, people today don't realize that when they go away, the point I was going to make, when they go away from the truth, when they do not respond to the circumstances that they find themselves in, when they don't respond to being lost and call upon the Lord, that there are occasions where you can't get that back.
Amen.
When Paul was talking to Felix, And Felix said to Paul, go thy way. At a more convenient season, I will send for thee. Perhaps Paul should have answered him and said, well, if you are unwilling now to turn from your evil ways, if you are unwilling to be a Christian now, if you are unwilling at this very moment to place your trust in Christ and align with God's cause and His people, if you're not willing now to humble yourself before the Lord, if you're not willing now, you may never be willing. Delay is dangerous. You know what amazes me is that Satan has caused even the people of God to think delay is okay. Now that alarms me. Christian people don't even see anything wrong with delaying. They don't see the danger of delay. But if you read the scriptures, there is a profound urgency found in the gospel. Nowhere in the gospel does it ever say wait. You're not supposed to wait to repent, wait to a better time or a future time. There's nothing in the gospel that conveys a delay, a hesitation. The gospel is now. Amen. Come now. Notice like in Isaiah chapter 55, ho, come, he said, come now. We go on another passage of scripture like Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus was saying, come unto me. And he was saying it in the Greek tense, which says, come now unto me. And all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, the Bible says, for he has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. I'm telling you, there's an urgency in the gospel, and procrastination is dangerous. Amen. Come now. Call on the Lord now. Seek the Lord now. Believe on the Lord now. Repent now. Never did Jesus say repent later, believe later. He said repent now. Believe now while you have time and opportunity. The spirit of the bride says come now. Amen. Let him that heareth say come. Are you hearing it? Say come, sinner, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible goes on and tells us, he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. Amen. Revelation 22 and 17. People need to yield now. You're invited to a great banquet and you need to eat now. It's all been made ready for you. You know, when you start studying this passage in the 24th chapter of Acts, and you start contrasting it with other responses of people when Paul preached, you turn to like the 16th chapter of Acts, where Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail. You remember that? Yeah, they were in there praising and praying to the Lord. They rode out into deep waters of revival in that jailhouse, and the jailhouse rocked. And all the doors were opened, you know, and they were able to go free, but they didn't. And the Philippian jailer, he came before Paul and before Silas, the Bible says, trembling. He fell down trembling before them. While he was trembling under conviction, what did he say? Did he, like Felix, say, at a more convenient season I will call for you? No, I'll tell you exactly what he said. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'll tell you what happened to the Philippian jailer. That night he got saved. His family got saved. Paul took them down to the creek and baptized them. Amen. Yes. I read in C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letter. Some of you have read that. There's a legend about Satan, you know, and he called all his demons together. He was concerned about the gospel being preached, and he needed a strategy to hinder the message of salvation. He got all his demons together, and he said, we need a plan. We need a plan. Lest people on the earth, they trust in Jesus and go to heaven. One of the devils said, well, what we can do is tell them that there is no heaven. And the devil said, that won't work. Throughout the scriptures it is revealed, and Jesus himself spoke of heaven. That won't work. They won't believe that. Another demon came forward and said, well, tell them there's no hell. And then the devil said, we can't do that either because the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. I said, what are we going to do? One of the cohorts of the back, one of them demons in the back rose up and said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll tell them they have plenty of time. And the devil said, that one will work. And it's been working for a long time here at the church, here at Victory Church. Amen. It's time it stopped. You need to get saved today. When you say to me that you want to be a Christian, that you want to be saved, that you want to go to heaven, that you don't want to go to hell, that you want the blood of Jesus applied to your heart, but you don't want it applied right now, you know what that tells me? That you may never get it applied. The case with those that were bid to the supper. That was the case with Felix and many others. We read in the Bible about Esau, that profane person. Actually, when you reject the gospel, it catapults you into a class of people that are considered profane people. Esau was a profane person. You know why he's profane? Because he sold his birthright, which represented the blessings and privileges of God, for a bowl of soup. He preferred a bowl of soup over the blessings and privileges of God. And anytime you do that, you are catapulted into that same class of profane people, and you're just like Esau, choosing something else of life rather than the blessings of Jesus Christ and going to heaven. I assure you this much, you will never be saved with that attitude of rejection, with that attitude of rebellion, with that attitude of neglect, with indecision and hesitation in your heart. You'll never taste and see that the Lord is gracious. You'll never come to know how the Lord Jesus Christ. Something must give, something must change, and the place you occupy is a very dangerous place. You know why it's dangerous? Because with every moment of indecision that you have, you grow more evil every day. You go farther and farther and farther away from God. Evil increases in delay. Listen to me. If you don't get any other point, listen to this. The Bible teaches clearly that evil increases with delay. The longer you stay a backslider, the more backslidden you'll be. The longer you stay lost, the more lost you'll get. Are you listening to me? Evil increases by delay. All the while you wait, all the while you delay, you occupy a more dangerous place. You might say, well, preacher, I'm not that bad a person. And you might be a beautiful person. You might be a talented person. You might be a rich person. You might not be indifferent toward the gospel. You may just have a cow to feed. You might just have some land to look at. You might have just gotten married. Isn't that what we read in the 14th chapter of Luke? Those aren't bad things, to have a cow or to have a piece of land or to even have a wife. But anything you put before God is idolatry. Anything you exalt above God is idolatry. And you can be the very thing that you're worth. You think, well, I wouldn't worship a stick out there. I wouldn't worship a tree. I wouldn't worship a cow. I wouldn't worship some idol Buddhist or anything like that. No, you're bowing down before yourself and you're dethroning God every time you delay. Listen to me. As long as you occupy a position outside of the promises of God, you are in danger. You're in danger of going to hell. Now, hell's a real place. Amen. Jesus spoke of hell frequently and often. He talked about where the fire is unquenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is unquenched. He talked about a place of darkness and and separation. A place where, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, there's a, when you start thinking about it, Jesus coming here. I believe he's incarnated, don't you? Yeah. Him leaving the splendor and the glory of heaven and being born of a virgin in that barn in Bethlehem. For him descending and condescending from that throne in heaven to occupy that lowly place of humanity, to take upon himself flesh and dwell among us. To go to the cross, to weep in the garden prior to the cross over your sins, crying out to the Father, if there be any other way to save these people, please, please let this cup pass from me. His suffering, his anguish, the beating, the blood that was spilled upon the ground for you. I'll tell you what hung Jesus on the cross, you did. Amen. Your sins. He could have called for 12 legion of angels to come and rescue him at any time. Amen. He said, no man taketh my life, I lay it down. He laid down his life for you. When you start contemplating and considering him being mocked and beaten and whipped, when you start considering about him going down the streets of Jerusalem, him wearing the crown of thorns, when you consider him dying on the cross and in his final breath saying, it is finished. When he came to be a propitiation for you, when he came to be an atonement for you, when he came to be expiation for you, when he came to save you, to be a ransom for your sins. And you look at me when you hear that and you say, just not convenient right now. It's not at my... Listen, my friend, when you start putting your convenience before the cross, you're in a dangerous place. Amen. When you hear the gospel of Jesus and you don't respond to it, and you say, well, it's just not convenient for me right now. I'll believe in Jesus at my convenience. I ask you this morning to consider any convenience that Jesus had on the cross for you. He had none. It's not a gospel at my convenience. Do you hear me, children? Amen. This gospel I preach up here is not a gospel that is to be at my convenience. When you hear the Word of God preach and the Holy Spirit is drawing you, the best time, the most convenient time is now. The longer you delay, the farther you become away from God. The more engulfed you become as an idolatrous worshiper. See, idolatry is anytime you put the creature above the creator. And that creature can be you. If you don't count anything important in the gospel enough to respond to it, and there are so many things in the gospel that should be responded to. There are so many things that God has done to save you. He sent his only begotten son. Amen. When you hear about Jesus coming and dying on a cross for you, to save you, if you just look at that and do not respond to it, delay coming to him, the more dangerous place you occupy. Please, go home with that this morning. What should I do about this, preacher? Well, I believe you need to respond to it. Because if you count anything, listen to me, sinner. If this very moment, if anything is more important to you than going to heaven or believing in Jesus or reconciliation, if anything is more important to you than being saved, you'll never be saved. I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to reveal to somebody this morning. Maybe you don't realize it, but you've dethroned God and you've placed yourself there on the throne. Other things take precedence over the cross and over your eternal life. And if this very at this very moment, if you're denying the priority and the paramount nature of God's sovereignty, you are in a very dangerous place.
And it's either now or never. I want you to look in the 14th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to close. It's in this same chapter, verse 26, that Jesus says, "If a man, any man, come to me and hateth not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, I realize that's not preached very much nowadays. I realize that a lot of people don't understand that. But it is simply saying that if you, just as you sit before me and hear me today, if you do not want to be a Christian now, if a different kind of life is more pleasurable to you now, if some other business is more important and more enjoyable to you now, it shows that you are in an attitude of open rebellion against God. That is a very, very dangerous place.
Amen.
When I was young, I was a dumb little kid. I'm still dumb, but I was really a dumb little kid. But I had enough sense to know not to rebel against the drawing of the Holy Ghost. And I'd try to get, I'd at least seek the Lord. I'd do something. I'd at least pray a prayer or do something. You know, to show that I was wanting to be saved, but to just openly rebel against the drawing of the Lord, my friend, that is a very, very dangerous place. What if everybody occupied that position? What if everyone in the world was just like you? You know what we'd have? We'd have nobody that really loved the Lord. We have nobody serving the Lord. If everybody was just like you, you know, that's what church members need to ask. But I'm asking the sinners this morning. What if everybody was just like you? Please realize, you're under the management of this principle, this delay thing. That's driving you farther. It's drawing you farther and farther. It's sucking you down. It's pulling you down to the depths of hell, delaying, not responding to the gospel. It's a dangerous place. Listen to me, children. You're in a very dangerous place.
Amen.
How long? How long are you going to go in that dangerous place? This tendency. This habit that you formed when you hear the gospel preached and the Holy Spirit drawing you of sitting still and not responding is a dangerous habit.
Amen.
It ought to alarm the church.
Amen.
It really should. It doesn't anymore. I was talking to some brethren the other day, and we were talking about some of them sisters used to come back. My aunt, if she got within four pews of me, I melted. Y'all remember those days? Huh? Where the saints of God would come to church prayed up. Man, the power of God was, I wasn't afraid of the preacher. But when the Lord got a hold of my aunt coming after me, look out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you guys remember those days? Huh? Huh? Yeah. Or some of the other good saints walked with the Lord. They walked with the Lord and they realized the danger of a sinner delaying, a sinner not responding to the gospel. And if they didn't respond to the gospel, God would send one of his saints after them. Y'all remember those days? Huh? What happened to them? What happened to them? You know, we have fallen prey to this same danger. And we need to get back to the old ways. Are you hearing me, church? What about that passage? Verily, verily, I say unto you, none of those people that were bidden shall eat of my supper. What do you make of that passage? What do you make of that? I believe the most important question you need to settle is your relationship with God.
Amen.
Most important thing in this world is getting right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to come to the Lord. Come to Him now. Seek the Lord now while you have time and opportunity. The Bible says seek the Lord while He may be found. Do you hear what Isaiah said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Amen. For somebody here this morning, it is either now or never. Amen. There is no later time for you. The Spirit of the Lord is drawing you. The best time is now. The convenient season is now. And if you don't come at the best time, it may be the only time you'll have opportunity to come.
Amen.
In closing, this is a short message, but I hope you got the point that God had given me, all right? And I want to close with a question. What possible advantage are you gaining in delaying? How is that helping you? How is that profiting you? How is that making things better for you? Waiting, delaying, procrastinating. How? I mean, if what I've said this morning and what the Scriptures have told us this morning is true, that the longer you go, you're in a more dangerous place, then why won't you trust the Lord today? Today's the day of salvation. Somebody in here has not been born again of the Spirit of God. Somebody here this morning has not drank of the water of life freely. Somebody here this morning has not experienced the grace of God. Somebody here this morning is lost. Somebody's on their way to hell, and they need to get on the right road that leads to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you need to do that today. Today is the day of salvation. Somebody probably will go away from here and say, a more convenient season. When you get to hell and you see Felix, you'll remember this message.
Amen.
You will. For somebody here this morning, the Holy Spirit, you say, preacher, how do you know this is the best time? I know it's the best time because the gospel's been preached. I know it's the best time because the Holy Ghost is here drawing. I know it's the best time because God's people are praying and the Spirit of the Lord is working on the people of God. How do you know it's the best time? Because now the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and you can hear His voice. And if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Let's stand.